أدام أدام كنجا بهاري جايا رادام أدام كنجا بهاري Ja Prabhupada, Ja Prabhupada, Ja Prabhupada, Ja Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Ja Prabhupada, Ja Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jayavishnabad Paramahansa Parivrajik Charyastanis Shishmad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki, ISKCON's Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki, Sri Sri Radha Sham Sundar Ki, Shishi Gonitai ki, Sankirtan Yagya ki, Ga Premanande, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, The Forest of Enjoyment. Text 5, the material world as the forest, the material world as the great forest of enjoyment. So it's a prose verse, a little lengthy, just a few words on the board there, so I think I'll just read it. Is that what they normally do for the prose verses? Anyway, okay. Tatragato dangsha mashaka sama pasadair manujai shalaba shakunta taskara mushaka debir uparudyamana bahi prana quachit parivartamano smin advanya vidya kama karma beer uparakta manasanu papa Nartam Naralokam Gandharva Nagaram Upapanam Iti Mitya Drishtir Anupasyati. Let us do the word for word. You can repeat after me. Tatra, to that household life. Gata, gone. Dangsha, gadflies. Gadflies. It's a little nasty little fly. It's not like your typical fly. It's a nasty little fly which sometimes bites. It's a gadfly. A real nuisance. Okay. Mashaka. Mosquitoes. Sama. Equal to. Apasadai. Who are low class. Manujai. By men. Shalaba. Locusts. Shakunta. A large bird of prey. Taskara. Thieves. Mushaka adibi. By rats and so on. Uparudyamana, being disturbed. Bahiprana, the external life ear. In the form of wealth and so on. Bahiprana, Quachit. Sometimes, parivartamana, wandering, as men, in this, advani, path of material existence, avidyakama, by ignorance and lust, karmapi, and by fruitive activities. Uparakta manasa, due to the minds being influenced. Anupapana artam, in which the desired results are never obtained. Naralokam, this material world. Gandharva Nagaram, a will-of-the-wisp city. Will-of-the-wisp means illusory, like hallucination. A city which doesn't really exist. You sort of fantasize it. Upapanam, existing, iti, taking it as, mityadrishti, he whose vision is mistaken, anupashyati, observes. Translation. Sometimes the conditioned soul in household life, being attached to material wealth and possessions, is disturbed by gadflies and mosquitoes, and sometimes locusts, birds of prey, and rats give him trouble. Nonetheless, he still wanders down the path of material existence. Due to ignorance, he becomes lusty and engages in fruitive activity. Because his mind is absorbed in these activities, he sees the material world as permanent, although it is temporary, like a phantasmagoria, a house in the sky. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The following song is sung by Narottam Das Thakur. Ahankare Matahana Nitai Pada Pasariya Asat Yere Satya Karimani. Due to forgetting the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda and being puffed up by material possessions, wealth, and opulence, one thinks the false temporary material world to be an actual fact. This is the material disease. The living entity is eternal and blissful, but despite miserable material conditions, he thinks the material world to be real and factual due to his ignorance. Let me read the verse again. Tatrikato dangshamashika sama pasadharmana jai salabha shakunta taskara mushikada bir upurudyamana bahi prana kwachit parivartamanos min advanya vidya kama karma bi uparakta manasano papa narutam naralokam gandharva nagaram upapanam iti mitya drishtibir anupashyati. Sometimes the conditioned soul in household life, being attached to material wealth and possessions, is disturbed by gadflies and mosquitoes. And sometimes locusts, birds of prey, and rats give him trouble. Nonetheless, he still wanders down the path of material existence. Due to ignorance, he becomes lusty and engages in fruitive activity. Because his mind is absorbed in these activities, he sees the material world as permanent, although it is temporary, like a phantasmagoria, a house in the sky. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Samaniti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prajayane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyacha Dejatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So, the material world as the great forest of enjoyment, this is a very sort of explicit, vivid, dramatic type of chapter, which is there to dispel the typical, most typical illusions which the conditioned souls are bewildered by and completely taken in by. That this material world, when you look at it, it looks good. It looks very good. It looks very promising. And, well, this, of course, this is Krishna's expertise. And actually, Krishna has many expertises. But this is a very sort of important one for us. That the material world looks extremely good. And it looks so good on one hand. And then on the other hand, we are so gullible, or not just gullible, but we desire so much to enjoy independently from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that, well, there's the little slogan which Prabhupada repeated many times, but it comes from material life: the cheaters and the cheated. When people want to be cheated, it's much easier to cheat them. If people are very vigilant and concerned, and they don't want to be cheated, they don't want to be taken in and misled, and as a result of all that suffer, then it's much harder to cheat them. But when people want to be cheated, they're actually looking for something which is not the real thing, then it's much easier to cheat them. We hear that in America, some people in the past have purchased the Brooklyn Bridge. We have heard that. It's a big bridge in the center of New York, between Manhattan and Brooklyn. And we hear that people have purchased it sometimes. Means some clever speaker has come along and somehow or other convinced them, you can buy this bridge. Big, huge, massive, gigantic bridge in the middle of the city, which obviously is part of the city, but somehow the person thinks, oh, I can buy this bridge. Anyway, we've heard things like that. So when people want to be cheated, it's much easier to cheat them. And that's the nature of people in this material world, that they are coming from the reality. Coming from the reality that we were all previously in the reality in the kingdom of God. So at least in the deep recesses of our minds, there is some impression of that, some recollection. So many things are stored up in the back of the mind, and on top of that, Krishna supplies remembrance, knowledge also. So some recollection of a world which is very beautiful, and there are many nice people there, and there you can find happiness in so many ways. Impressions of that are there in the back of our minds. Srila Ramanujacharya, in his defeating of Mayavad philosophy, he addresses Shankaracharya's famous example of the rope and the snake. The rope and the snake. That there is, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya. That Brahman is truth, this world is false. So the example which Shankaracharya uses to illustrate this, or one of the examples, is the example that a person may think a rope is a snake, and therefore they react to the rope as if it's a snake. Of course, if you just see some rope hanging somewhere, lying somewhere, that is not very frightening. That is not frightening at all. But if you see a snake somewhere, oh, that's something frightening. And we will react We will not react to a rope. It's just, you know, it's just nothing of any significance and nothing to worry about, certainly. So he uses this example, Shankaracharya, that actually there is not really a world as such. Jagan-mitya. It's false. Brahma-satyam. But what there is Brahman. And Brahman is truth. So, but we are, what we are seeing here, what we are in the middle of, it is Brahman. But we are thinking it is this world, and therefore we are reacting. And we're trying to enjoy and make material progress, and we get, we try to defend ourselves against material danger, and in so many ways we react as if it's a snake. This is the idea. As if it's a snake. But we shouldn't react like that, because it's not a snake. It is Brahman, and it is fine. It is truth, and we're quite safe, and we can be very happy because it's Brahman. We just have to realize it's Brahman. So anyway, Ramanujacharya, he extensively defeats, argues against practically all of Shankaracharya's arguments of different types, and he argues against this one, and his argument against this one is that if there is a rope, how could you think it's a snake if you never saw a snake before? If you had no idea that, you know, that there are snakes, snakes exist, and snakes are very dangerous. If you had no experience previously of snakes, then how, first of all, how could you think it is a snake if you never saw a snake? And how would you know that you should react? That, oh, it's a snake. Oh, danger, panic. How could you react like that? How could you know to react like that if you've had no experience of snakes before at all? You couldn't, actually. So this is Ramanujacharya's argument, that we must have had experience of snakes before. Therefore we react. Even though this is not really a snake, it means it's not the reality, the eternal spiritual reality. And it doesn't deserve being taken so seriously as you know, as a wonderful place where we can enjoy, where all the people are nice. You know, this world is something else. It's a nasty, dirty place full of nasty people, and you know, we all know in so many ways. It's a really difficult place. But we are thinking, oh, it's nice. So Ramanujacharya is saying, it is because Shishi Krishna Balaram Shishi Radhasham Sandha Shishi Gornitai Ki. It is because, and it could only be because we have had experience of that in the past. And somehow that experience, the impressions, the knowledge of it, It's stored there somewhere in the deeper recesses of our minds. And as a result, when we see this world, we react like it's that world. And we have those types of expectations that we're going to enjoy, and it is offering us that. But the whole point of this chapter is that even though it looks good, it looks like the real thing, but it's a cheat. Yeah, it's an illusion. Or here, it's a phantasmagoria, like a house in the sky, Gandharva Nagaram, this type of thing, will of the wisp, some hallucination. Yes. So that's what this chapter is presenting, and this particular verse is looking at household life, you could say a famous subject in Krishna consciousness for good reason. Not that we should develop the, practically equally famous prejudices against householders and, but certainly everyone should, and particularly devotees, it's really essential that devotees be aware that there are many dangers in household life. There's so many dangers in material life in general, and particularly in household life there's specific dangers. And even though generally people become involved in household life in Krishna consciousness, but still they should do that in an informed way. An informed way, not in some sort of hallucinatory way or just some foolish way, having, again, expectations which are unfulfillable, unrealizable within household life, within Krishna consciousness, but rather see that Grihastha ashram in Krishna consciousness, it is an ashram. Ashram means a place where spiritual life is developed. Not like, we drive around Vrindavan these days and there's so many quote-unquote ashrams. But, let us be real. They are hotels. I mean, there are a few ashrams which are really for people who are serious about Krishna consciousness and want to be able to get together with other people and practice together. There are such places, but on the whole, the so-called ashrams around Vrindavan, they're basically hotels. And some of them are even like 3-star, 4-star, like higher level, more comfortable hotels. So such is life. We won't go into it too much. It's just pretty obvious what's going on. But devotees, when they enter Grihastha ashram, as most devotees do, then they should understand it is an ashram. It is not just a great place for material enjoyment, and we will sort of say we are devotees or something like that, dress as devotees, but actually we're just enjoying, that's what we're doing. No, it's a place for spiritual development, and when it is Grihastha Ashram is practiced properly, then the people actually make advancement. They actually make advancement and assist each other and the children to become devotees and progress and be happy in Krishna consciousness despite the challenges, the numerous challenges and sometimes painful challenges which are there in household life. We see in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada has quoted a line, part of a verse from Srila Narottam Das Thakur's Nidaipada Kamala. Asat ye ahankare matahana Nidaipada pasariya Asat yere satya karimani. That materialistic people who neglect the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, ahankare mata hana, they think they're their bodies, and asat yere satya kari mani, they think that the asatya, the untruth, is satya, is truth. That's what they think. They think that the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are illusion. This is what Narottam Das Thakur is saying in the song in different ways. They think the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are illusion, and they think that this material world is real, but in those ways they think that untruth is truth, and they become lost in material existence, lost in this great forest of material enjoyment. So what Narottam Das Thakur is saying, what Srila Prabhupada is the particular perspective he is taking in regard to this verse, is that really we need to take shelter of Lord Nityananda. There's a number of things we need to do. We need to chant our rounds, follow the regulative principles, read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. These are all things we need to do in Krishna consciousness. But one of the things we need to do, along with the other things, one thing we need to do is take shelter of Lord Nityananda. And here in Vrindavan Dham, we also need to take shelter of Lord Nityananda. It's not just that we come to Vrindavan Dham and it's all Radhe, 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 etc., etc. Which is, you know, very nice in many ways. Hare Krishna. But we need to take shelter of Lord Nityananda in Vrindavan Dham if we're really to enter Vrindavan and go a little deeper than the material, the big buildings, the big fancy buildings on one hand, and the sometimes broken down temples on the other hand, and the, you know, obviously very wealthy zamindars who are building the big buildings and driving around in the motor cars, and the beggars of different types. Yeah. In order to transcend all of this, or at least to not be too much affected by the material deterioration of Vrindavan Dham in so many ways, we need to take shelter of Lord Nityananda. And this is one reason why on our altars here, we don't just have Radha and Krishna, and we don't even just have Krishna and Balaram, but we have Gaur-Nitai also. And Prabhupada specifically stated that he made Krishna Balaram the main deities and not Radhisham Sundar. But actually Krishna Balaram are the main deities because he wanted the people, the general local people who come, Indian people who visit, he wanted them to understand Krishna and Balaram have appeared as Gaur-Nitai. And in this age, if you want to approach Radha Shyam Sundar, you have to approach through Gaur-Nitai. You cannot just walk straight up to Radha Shyam Sundar, here I am, and that's it. And now I'm going to interact with you through Gaur-Nitai. So Lord Nityananda's place, what he does in the whole picture of Krishna consciousness, of course he does many things, but in another very well-known song of Narottam Das Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur says, Ar kabe nitai chandir karuna hoy be. When will I get the mercy of Lord Nityananda? Samsara vasana mora kabe tucha habe. This is a verse from the first song, I think, in Praritana, the collection, that particular collection of songs by Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Gauranga Bolite Habe, that song. So, Lord Nityananda, when will I get the mercy of Lord Nityananda? Well, then the next line is Samsara Vasana Mora Kabe Tucha Habe. I will know that I have got the mercy. I am now getting some mercy from Lord Nityananda when I see that Samsara Vasana Mora. My samsara vasana kabe tucha habe. When my samsara vasana becomes insignificant, just negligible, practically nothing. Samsara vasana it's an interesting concept, samsara vasana. In a broad sense, in a general sense, it means our tendencies towards material existence or attractions to material enjoyment, samsara vasana, can be seen in that way. But it's interesting to note, in that same song, Gauranga Balite Habe, Pulaka Sharir, in the same song, maybe the next verse or the verse after the verse which mentions Lord Nityananda, Narottam Das Thakur says, Vishaya chadiya kabe shuddha habe mana. Yeah. That when I get the mercy of Rupa and Raghunath, then Vishaya chadiya kabe. Then my Vishaya Chadya, very specifically means desire to enjoy, sense gratification. Vishaya is, you know, it's like a very specific term. Samsara Vasana is kind of the same thing, but it can also be understood in a broader concept. And, you know, you could ask, why say that, you know, get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, your material desires become nothing. Get the mercy of Rupa and Raghunath, your desires for material enjoyment, you know, become nothing, something like that. So there's a slightly different understanding between samsara vasana and just plain vishaya. Samsara vasana means, in a sort of deeper sense, the fundamental, foundational types of attractions that one has towards material life, in general, in a broad sense, as, you know, can be distinguished from a little bit some specific attraction to enjoy some specific thing in terms of my current body, my current material situation. In other words, samsara vasana means like the general tendency to become attracted to the opposite sex, or eating, comfort, these general types of attractions, because the attraction to the opposite sex, it's not only the human beings that have it, obviously, the dogs do, the cats, all the animals, even the cockroaches, and the etc., etc. There is this general tendency in, it doesn't matter what sort of body you have, really, that you become attracted to the opposite sex. Or, you know, even nowadays, popularization of the same sex for those reasons. Anyway, let's just say the opposite sex. And it's there, you know, even in kind of what we might consider ugly creatures, like cockroaches, like flies, like hippopotamuses. In Africa, where I am based, we have hippopotamuses and rhinoceros and elephants. Well, of course you have elephants here too. And crocodiles. And sure, they don't really look very attractive in that sense particularly. But you can know for sure the male hippopotamus thinks that the female hippopotamus looks, oh, very sweet and just very beautiful. You get the idea. So, in other words, there is a propensity on the material level for any conditioned soul, regardless of their type of body, to become attracted to the opposite sex, to become attracted to eating something. But it's different in the different species. Prabhupada famously compared humans eating halava to pigs eating stool. We all have heard that sort of idea so many times. But the basic principle is one of eating. It is being shared in the different species in different ways, according to the different, the natures of the different bodies, the natures of the different species. This is more the idea of samsara vasana. Those fundamental, foundational tendencies, which manifest differently depending on the type of body you have. Even, you know, men are attracted to women, women are attracted to men. But fundamentally, there's the propensity to become attracted to the opposite sex and different types of foodstuffs. So, Lord Nityananda is very merciful and he's very powerful. And if we take shelter of Lord Nityananda, It will help us in many ways, and this is one of those important ways, that he will help us uproot those propensities which are deep in our hearts, like the roots of our material existence. Uproot them altogether, and then we can be free to become absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and we will easily be able to chant without becoming distracted, visit the holy places without becoming distracted, and so on. This is all the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So Prabhupada is giving this emphasis here, that if we get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, or people who do not have the mercy of Lord Nityananda, they get carried away with material existence in the types of ways mentioned here, despite the fact that even though it looks good, quite quickly you find it is not as good as it looks. A couple of our devotees told me, well, they're from Mauritius, which is a tropical island between here and Africa. And not so far from Mauritius, there's another group of tropical islands. They're called the Seychelles. You may or may not have heard of them. But anyway, they are, you know, they really look like the tropical paradise islands that you may have heard of, that people dream of sometimes, with the beaches, the sand is so white. There is not a pebble. There's not a small, tiny little rock, not one, on the beach. And the water is crystal clear. And there are palm trees. And the weather, there's no winter. They have no winter. But it's not so hot in the summer. Not really hot, not like here. It's you know, quite warm, but it's not really hot. And there's no winter. Hurry ball. So these two devotees went there on business. They're business people and devotees. So they went there. They had to get a... Anyway, for whatever reason, they did their business. They had a couple of days extra at the end. So what to do? Hey, let's go and lie on the beach and swim in the crystal clear water. Yes, let's do that. So they did. They went and laid down on the beach. And you know what they found? They found, well, Prabhupada, the Sanskrit term is dangsha. Prabhupada says, gadfly. They found these little flies which bite. You know, you can hardly see them. They're so small. But there were millions of them. And you lie down on the beach and suddenly, bite, 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 bite. Wow! It was really bad. And, you know, even you spray some repellent, they like the taste of the repellent. So they thought, wow, so much for the tropical paradise. What now? Ah, the crystal clear sea. Let's go and swim in the sea. Into the sea. What did they find? It was full of blue bottles. blue bottles are jellyfish. Oh, you know, if you think the biting flies are bad, wait till you meet a blue bottle. Wow, you know, they can kill. And there's all these jellyfish all around, and they couldn't swim and relax. So they just went back to the hotel room and just chanted Hare Krishna for a couple of days. So, and, you know, it really looked good. It really looked extremely good. But welcome to the material world. It's a big letdown. So a devotee is a person who has that knowledge, and that because of having that knowledge, the devotee has that intelligence to not be misled by the material world. And so even when the devotee is in some materially opulent situation, the devotee remains fully absorbed in devotional service and not becoming bewildered by the comforts, the material opulences, etc. This is a devotee. And this is a devotee who has received some mercy at least from Lord Nityananda. You know, of course, there are degrees of mercy, but at least this devotee has received some degree of mercy from Lord Nityananda, that whatever the material circumstances are, the devotee can remain wholeheartedly engaged in devotional service, and in that way be happy in material difficulty, in material comfort, be happy in Krishna consciousness by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, and be happy in Sri Vrindavan Dham by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Hare Krishna. I don't know, what time we meant to finish? No budget. 9 o'clock. Any comment, question from anyone? Yes, Prabhu? Yes. Okay, that's a good point. Okay. Yes, devotee said that we were talking about taking shelter of Lord Nityananda, getting his mercy, so what do we do? How do we do that? Well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Ek ba dekle chake jal gorabale nitai dain sakala sambal. He basically says that when Lord Nityananda sees a tear, just ek ba, one time, chake jal, a tear coming from your eye, Gora Bole, when you chant the name Gora, then Nitai Dain Sakala, he just gives everything. So if we serve Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, he will be so happy to give all his mercy. Serve Lord Chaitanya, try to spread the Sankirtan movement here, right here in Vrindavan. We were yesterday afternoon, evening, we were in Mathura, and we had Harinam, big Harinam, right through, from, what is it, Lal Dwaza to Rangeshwar and back through Vishramgat, etc. Major Harinam, more than 100 devotees, 120 or 50 even. And oh, what an impact it made. Many, many people were very appreciative. Many people were affected. Even, you know, the young, cool, mature boys. You know what I mean? The tight jeans. The Western style shirt. The hairstyle. The motorbike. You know what I mean? The cool young Indian boys who have they've kind of gone beyond Bharatiya culture. They're now, you know, in the process of becoming Americans, even in Mathura. Even they were affected. Oh, yes. They were very affected. So right here, and all around, you go through Nandagram, you go through Varshana, you go through Govardhan, all these sacred places with Harinam and book distribution also. Oh, it's great. So, and wherever we are, if we really try to serve Lord Chaitanya by spreading his mission as Prabhupada has given it to us, Lord Nityananda will be very happy. Extremely happy. He'll just shower his mercy and then we'll make great progress. Thank you. Okay. Last one. Give this devotee the microphone. Turn on the microphone.
Maharaj, you gave a very good introduction to how we can proceed in the devotional life by being the recipient of Nityananda's mercy. My question here is that for one to figure out a person to associate what kind of key symptomatic characteristics a devotee should have for us to realize that he's the recipient of the mercy of Nityananda so that we can associate with him.
Okay. Well, you know, first thing we should do is look amongst the followers of Srila Prabhupada. That's the first point. Because there are many people who, you know, on a certain level, to observers who are not experienced and who don't have, you know, so much of a deeper vision, just like a little more superficial vision, there are many people who may appear to be samsara vasana tucha, that their attractions to material life are not so great. Right. There are many kind of externally renounced people, renounced people, but if you scratch beneath the surface or if you spend some time with them, then you see very clearly, this person is not so renounced. You know, we're staying on the parikrama path just across a little way, about 15 minute walk, and the people, the devotees, the men wearing saffron, you know, looking like sannyasis, they gather around their different places for prasadam every day. They're there. And you may look and see, oh, saffron, sannyasi hai, jai ho, Maharaj. All right. But you come back a little later when it's, you know, they're waiting for prasadam. Some of them are, you know, smoking bidis. We saw them yesterday with a chillum. Ah, going for it. Yes. Radhe, Radhe. So, you know, first thing really is look amongst the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. Because amongst the followers of Srila Prabhupada, If you get up to nonsense, if someone gets up to nonsense, even say a sannyasi, you know, obviously it has happened and sometimes it happens unfortunately, but someone who externally looks like a renunciate and may have been accepted as such for some period of time, but something goes wrong in their lives and they fall. Yeah, but the thing is, within Prabhupada's family, you cannot get away with that for very long. Yeah. After a while, people will catch, hey, he's not maintaining the standards. And it will become known, you know, widely known. And then you'll know best not to associate with him too closely. Get the idea. So otherwise, within Prabhupada's family, we should look and see who is sincerely trying to spread Prabhupada's movement, who is not engaged just in materialistic activity and sense gratification like that. Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna. Hare Rama. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.